Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Well, week three in the Big 12 was definitely much better than week two, but of course there wasn't nearly as much on the line. Either way, welcome in. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12. We are glad that you are here as always as a part of the show. Subscribe, hit the like button. We appreciate you doing that. Same thing on the podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to the show there. So week three did not bring the high octane non-conference importance that we had in week two. But it still was a really good week for the Big 12, which week two was not. We talked about this last week. Week two was abysmal for this league. But week three, one game in particular stood above the rest, where the Big 12 was a sizable underdog, and the Big 12 goes out there and gets a convincing win. And then on the other side, you had a Big 12 that had many favorites on Saturday, and those favorites all got it done with very little drama to speak of. So let's get to it. Let's start with West Virginia and Pittsburgh. The Mountaineers were a touchdown dog, and what do? They go out there and they pull off the upset in overtime against the Panthers. The backyard brawl should never go away. The backyard brawl must remain a staple in college football until this sport ceases to exist. This is college football at its absolute best. This is college football in a nutshell. And if you can't get behind what goes on when Pittsburgh meets West Virginia, I can't help you. If I was going to drop an alien from outer space and say, this is college football, I'm sending them to the backyard brawl. And it was the Mountaineers as the underdog getting the outright win in overtime. And it was Nico Marquial doing enough and being very clutch in the process as well. He wasn't great, but he was clutch when it mattered. It was Ty Edwards, one of the 70 transfers that was brought in by Rich Rodriguez, who carried the mantle from Jaheim White, star running back out for the season, who said, I'll take care of this. And he ran for 140-plus yards and was one of the stars of the game. The Northern Iowa transfer, who prior to that was at UTSA, was the guy who basically was the stud in the backfield for the Mountaineers on Saturday to help them pull off the upset. So it was guys like that that stepped up, that made a big difference on Saturday. And it was Rich Rodriguez also dialing up pressure when it was necessary. 6 sacks, 8 tackles for loss as a team for the Mountaineers. And then after the game, you see Rich Rodriguez get emotional in his ESPN interview. He's like, these guys never quit. The longer this game goes on, the better chance we've got to win. God bless West Virginia. God bless the Mountaineers. He was so fired up. And with all due respect to Neil Brown, who is a very nice man and seemed like a very kind soul, Rich Rodriguez embodies West Virginia. He embodies the Mountaineers, and he embodies everything that Morgantown stands for. And that was on full-blown display after that upset win on Saturday. It was amazing to watch. No matter what happens this year, West Virginia has its dude. And that was so evident. So after a week where the Big 12 struggled against their Power 4 competition, the big one that they were an underdog in on Saturday was this game. It was West Virginia. It was Pitt. And even though the Mountaineers lost last week to Ohio, was that a team that was caught looking ahead? Was even the coaching staff possibly caught looking ahead? They shouldn't have been. They were only a 3-point favorite in that game against Ohio, and they lost it. There was no reason for them to be overconfident. But it's clear that they regrouped, and it's also pretty obvious to me, and this is smart for Rich Rod, realizing how important this game is for the psyche of the program and the psyche of the fan base. And that's why I think that they poured every single thing they could in this moment in year one into this game, and you saw it produce a great win on Saturday for the Mountaineers. Next up, in terms of games of importance in the Big 12, we'll stick with Saturday. I'll get to Friday here coming up in a second. But Iowa State dodging a bullet. I never sat there and thought to myself, you know, this one's in doubt. I don't know about you, but I was never like, oh boy, Iowa State's going to lose this one. Even when they were down 10-9, I was like, all right, fellas, you just got to get it going here. I mean, this Arkansas State team got blown out by Arkansas last week by like 35, 40 points. I didn't really ever worry, even when they were down, because they came back 30 seconds later, scored a big touchdown, and then the second half was all about just hanging on. But this Iowa State team is drained. And I don't mean that as a negative. I mean, they played in Dublin, Ireland. They start off the year with a conference game, right? 2 weeks later, and then they have a blowout 52-7 win against FCS team. Then they play their in-state arch rivals. They win at home for the first time in, what, 13 years? And now they got to go to Arkansas State. They're just drained. That's okay. That's expected when you have played four straight games out of the gates like that. So they didn't look their best, but I don't look into it at all. I don't look at this Iowa State game and say, well, there's that chink in the armor we've been looking for. No, no, no. You can't do that. You have to put it in the totality of what this program has been through the last 4 weeks. And it's something that no other program in the Big 12 has had to deal with. Well, I guess one other has, Kansas State, and it's gone a heck of a lot worse for them. We'll get to that. But Iowa State is now 4-0, and they are 4-0 for a second straight season. So Matt Campbell has officially shed that slow start moniker. I'll never forget asking him about slow starts. And this came at a Big 12 media days maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And he looks at me and he goes, Pete, that's a good question. That's on me. Got to be better. And he has been better. And he has figured out how to get off to these fast starts. Because these fast starts are what keep your team in the race to get to a Big 12 championship and now a college football playoff. And not just be a guy that's out there going 8-4 or maybe a pop up to 9-3 once in a while. Now it's like, no, we can go 10-2. We can win a Big 12 championship. And we can get ourselves to the college football playoff. So it's the first time in school history the Cyclones have opened with 4 wins in a row in back-to-back years. That's darn impressive, and that's on the coaching staff. And I'm not sitting here over-analyzing this game and saying, well, you know, Rocco Beck didn't look his best. Yeah, he didn't, and I don't care one bit. It's irrelevant to me. Should not matter to you either. They're 4-0. All right, they got out of a road atmosphere with a victory for a team that if they had won the game, it would have made their season. And you know what? All in all, defense was still pretty good. So take it, run with it, and move on. All right? So then you look at some of these other games on Saturday. I'll get to one or two more Saturday games and then dive into Friday with you here. Utah beating Wyoming 31-6. Devin Dampier just steamrolling on Saturday, looked like the real deal. He was fantastic. And I want to combine this conversation with Texas Tech handling Oregon State 45-14. And the reason I'm bringing these two games up at the same time is because these guys play each other next week in Salt Lake City in what may be one of the most important games of the entire Big 12 football season. That's how critical this game is. All right. You think about this game, and you have Texas Tech and Utah, top 25 teams. They're both now 3-0. They both have steamrolled their non-conference opponents, and they both think that they will and can win the Big 12 and will end up reaching a college football playoff, and they're meeting next week. Now, neither team has played a great non-conference schedule. Let's be very clear. Okay? Utah rolled UCLA, Cal Poly, and Wyoming. Texas Tech has beaten Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Kent State, and Oregon State. So there is an unknown element with both of these teams. But on Saturday, they looked the part. Listen, Oregon State is not your traditional Power Four. They're nothing right now is what they are. They're just this weird independent team that's 0-3. Wyoming can be tricky. And Utah continues to impress me. I mean, there's nothing not to like. I watch Devin Dempier, and I see a guy who's pretty accurate passer with a really quick release. And if he gets out in open space, watch out. The one part of this that I get concerned about for Dempier sometimes is he has a little bit of Shedeur Sanders in him where he tries to do too much. He starts running in circles, and instead of just, you know, taking a loss of one, it ends up being a loss of six or seven. There's a couple of those I feel like I've seen the first couple of weeks that do bring me some pause for concern. But overall, thus far, he's looking like a top five quarterback in the Big 12. And Barron Morton, the dude was throwing it and slinging it all over the field against Oregon State, four touchdown passes. And he looks really good after that week one lower leg injury scare. And now you're just sitting there saying, can I keep him healthy? Can I keep that consistent running game going with Cameron Dickey and Jacoby Williams? And, you know, we thought that the running game may not have the depth, but you get Dickey and Williams, as long as those two guys stay healthy, I think Tech's going to be fine. I really think they're going to be absolutely okay when it comes to their running game. And you're continuing to see the defensive side of the ball step up in a big way as well. I mean, this could end up being as good as these quarterbacks are next week. And of course, we'll do more of this in the preview for week four, which is why you've got to be subscribed here at Heartland College Sports. We'll do more, of course, about this game in the preview, but this is shaping up to be a game that will help determine how the Big 12 race plays out. And it's happening in Salt Lake City on Saturday between Texas Tech and Utah, and what's going to be a tremendous game after both of these teams got really big wins on Saturday afternoon. Shall we go to Friday? What do you say we look back on Friday here? I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is where you find us. We've got a couple of Big 12 games from Friday to dive into. And two of these teams have very similar problems, and it's the two teams that lost. Let me start with Colorado here for a second. Colorado has talent, but looks like a mess. Deion Sanders is able to get some dudes in there. I'm not sure that he's got the dudes on the coaching staff to coach up the dudes that he's got on the roster. And that's a fair question to have right now. I know he's got all these NFL Hall of Famers. You got Warren Sapp. You got Marshall Faulk. You got guys with NFL experience like Pat Shurmur. But there's a lot on both sides of the ball that have tremendous questions right now after Colorado lost to Houston 36-20 on Saturday. I want to start with that game here for a second. So first off, I look at this and I say, Colorado's defense cannot stop the run. Credit to Houston. Connor Wigman showed off wheels I didn't know he had. All right. He was good throwing the ball, but he was even better running the ball. Some of those cuts that he was making to pile up 83 rushing yards and two touchdowns, I was like, damn, dude. Not that I had seen him play really any football because he didn't get much time at his prior stop A&M, but I was so darn impressed watching him and watching him carve up this Colorado defense, including on a couple of big touchdown runs. But Colorado just can't stop the running game. I mean, Houston racked up 209 yards on the ground, and they made it look relatively easy as well doing it. So this was not a good rush defense for Colorado. And there were times when I'm like, man, are they playing with 10 dudes out there? Defensive line didn't get much going at all against Wigman, even in the passing attack. So that was frustrating to watch if you were a Colorado fan. And then on the other side, you're watching Ryan Staub and you're like, this does not look good. Nothing about this makes you feel like Colorado is going to be in a position to not only forget competing in the Big 12, I'm talking about bowl eligibility here. I mean, find me the game right now in the Colorado schedule that you feel really good about. Wyoming is at home next week. Okay, you should feel pretty good about that if you're a Colorado fan. I'll give you that. But after that, look at their conference slate. Even the games that might be perceived as easier, even some of those, aren't easy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You're playing Arizona late in the season after you're at Utah. Then you travel to West Virginia. Maybe the Mountaineers are an easier game, but it's on the road. You wrap up the season with the Kansas State team that doesn't look all that special right now. That's also on the road. It's entirely possible that Colorado is an underdog in every other Big 12 game they play this season based on what they've done so far and based on what we've seen. They still can't really get the running game going, it seems like, at times. A lot of questions there as well. So this is a team that's had a tough offseason, not just based on what they lost, but obviously based on the health issues for Coach Prime. So now they've got to figure out what the best way forward is and really how to get these talented guys to develop, because it's not a talent issue. Now, on the other side, you've got Willie Fritz, right? And Willie Fritz is a guy who develops and builds programs. It's what he does. It's the antithesis in some way of Coach Prime, who recruits very well and has obviously had success with very high talented guys. But Willie Fritz doesn't get those guys. What he does do is develop dudes. And you're already seeing that happen in a very small sample size of 3 games, with Houston now being 3-0 for the first time in nearly a decade, 2016, the last time that Houston was 3-0. And you're seeing it with a lot of transfers. Dean Connors, their running back, came over from Rice. Senior, veteran, gets it, had a good game on Friday night. And I think you're going to see more of that from someone like him, which is just fantastic to see. Go down the list. Wigman, we talked about. A guy like Stephon Johnson's been with the program for a couple of years, But, you know, he had one of those breakout games on Friday night and looks like he might be a force at wide receiver. So you're seeing some of these pieces really step up and take that next step. And if you're a Houston fan, I'm not going to sit here and tell you to get giddy about it. All right. But when you see a lot of these new names start to click, Amari Thomas, wide receiver, he's had a good couple of games. He came over from UAB. When these guys start to click as fast as they are, as quickly as they are, and you're only in week three, you should be sitting there feeling really good about yourself, feeling really good about maybe this team being a shock in the Big 12 that nobody saw coming. The defense has been really solid too. And that's something that is never going to get the same amount of attention as the skill guys on offense. But you look at what some of these dudes have done, and it's been fantastic to watch. I mean, Eddie Wall stands out to me. He's been at, I think he was at FIU last year, and he was somewhere else before that. He had a good game on Friday night. So these guys are stepping up. And Houston looks like a team that cannot be overlooked in the Big 12 conference this season. Cannot happen. All right? If you overlook Houston, you will be in for a long day. This is not Dana Holgorsen's team. This is not even last year under Willie Fritz, which was only year one. This is Willie Fritz in year two when he typically starts to show that success that he's had absolutely everywhere that he has been. And on the Colorado side, there are many more questions. Now, the other Friday night game on Heartland College Sports, I'm Pete Mundo. Glad you're here joining us. Please do make sure that you are subscribed to the channel. We appreciate you doing that. The other Friday night game was Arizona beating Kansas State 23-17. Just a reminder, this was not a conference game. These two teams agreed to a home and home years ago when Arizona was in this thing called the Pac-12, and then they decided to play this home and home, and they kept it on the schedule so they didn't have to figure out someone else to play. So it was a non-conference game. But it tells us a lot about both of these teams. Starting with Kansas State, who has a lot of problems. And I'm starting to think that as much as people want to point to Avery Johnson, and as much as people want to point to their offensive coordinator, Matt Wells, which I think is fair to criticize both guys at varying levels for different reasons, I am so underwhelmed by what I am seeing from this offensive line. I mean, Avery Johnson doesn't have a lot of time back there. Say what you want about whether or not he's developed as a passer. Those are fair questions to bring up. But I'm looking at this guy, and he just doesn't have a lot of time. Now, would somebody with better passing abilities be able to work around that better than Avery has? Yeah, sure, you can absolutely sell me on that. I'm not opposed to that conversation. But this offensive line is stunk. The running game feels like it's non-existent, right? I mean, think about the running game. Jace Brown, who's a wide receiver, had like an end-around carry for, what, 75 yards and a score. If you take that out, this team had 23 carries for 30 rushing yards. If you take away that Jace Brown, wide receiver, 75-yard touchdown run, they can't run the ball. Avery doesn't have much time, and his wide receivers are mid. We were told that we were going to see a big improvement in the wide receiving core at Kansas State. We're not seeing it. So it's easy to look at Avery Johnson and point the finger at him and say, this guy hasn't developed. And because of the fact that he's a home state kid, he replaced Will Howard. Will Howard goes to Ohio State, wins a natty. There's that level of conversation as well that I understand naturally comes up. But team's a mess. They should be 0-4. They're lucky to be 1-3. They had that win against North Dakota State in week one, I guess it was. That was an absolute joke. And now you're going into a bye week with UCF coming in week five, right? Yeah, week five. So there's nothing to feel good about right now in Manhattan. And it's why I picked Arizona to win the game and cover as the underdog. I also hit Houston on Friday night. So I hit both of those games. I had Houston minus four, Arizona plus one, and then lost the two on Saturday. So and it was just because I didn't buy into what Kansas State is doing. Now, I didn't think Arizona looked great at all. All right. They had special teams mistakes all over the place. They were sloppy at times. I didn't love what I saw from Arizona. The game was more of an indictment against Kansas State. But if you're an Arizona fan and you're coming off a 3-9 year and you're 3-0, and you feel like Fifita's starting to look like his old self, not that he was tremendous, but he's starting to feel like and look like his old self, you've got a semblance of a running game, which you feel like you have not had in quite some time. So, yeah, I mean, just be optimistic, right? Mahdi, their leading rusher on Friday night, is a transfer that came in from Texas State. Had 2,000-yard seasons at Texas State, and he's already off to a really good start with Arizona. So you got to like what you're seeing from him, and the program in particular feels like it's trending in the right direction, especially at that position where Mahdi had a big breakout game. He had two decent games in week one and week two, 23 and 51 yards rushing respectively. Then he pops off 189 against K-State on Friday night. And you're like, okay, all right, dude, let's do more of that if you're an Arizona fan, right? You're getting ready for conference play now after a 3-0 non-con. Not that, you know, and you're saying to yourself, okay, we now have to go to Iowa State. Things are going to get real fast for Arizona. But you feel like you've got a shot. You feel like you're in the conversation. And you feel like you can get yourself the bowl eligibility. And if you're an Arizona fan, I think that's a realistic goal and a great next step for Brent Brennan. Get this team to bowl eligibility this year and feel like you've got things trending in the right direction. So that's what you saw from Arizona on Friday night. And if you're a Wildcats fan, an Arizona Wildcats fan, you've got to be optimistic about where your team is trending. Realistic, but optimistic. And I think that's where Arizona fans, most of them, from what I can tell and looking at our message boards at heartlandcollegesports.com, seem to be. So good on you guys. Tremendous work. Let's go back to some of the Saturday action that we have not talked about here. The rest of the action is mostly Big 12 versus FCS or Group of Five in one case. Baylor steamrolls Samford. And the final there, 42-7. Then we had Cincinnati handling Northwestern State 70-0. TCU beats up Abilene Christian 42-21. And Arizona State handles Texas State 34-15. You know, one of the problems that a program like Texas State is going to have, we've talked about a couple of Texas State guys who transferred in the Big 12 programs and are making a difference. It is more difficult and will be more difficult than ever in this NIL era for the good Group of Five teams to maintain their quality because these guys are going to bounce for the Power Four. So what I think the NIL may actually end up doing is closing the gap amongst the Power Four between the top and the bottom because of the transfer portal. But what it also may do is create a wider gap between the Power Four and the Group of Five. And that's something that we're still trying to figure out, how this is all going to play out, who's going to benefit, who's not. But I'm starting to get that sense that the Power Four Group of Five difference may widen, but the Power Four difference inside of all these leagues may actually shrink. So that's something to watch here. But you're seeing a lot of these blowout games. And, you know, there's not a ton to take out of some of these, right? I mean, Baylor does what it's supposed to do against Samford. Sawyer Robertson continues to look like the guy who's just, you know, lighting it up and can be a Heisman contender. And Bryson Washington had a great game. And you say, okay, it's Samford. But if you're Baylor, you're 2-1, which is not exactly where you wanted to be. But you lost to Auburn, you beat SMU, and you rolled Samford. And now we get set for an amazing game next week when they take on Arizona State to open up conference play. in what's going to be a tremendous showdown. Just like Texas Tech and Utah and Salt Lake City, we've got Baylor and Arizona State in Waco in a game that will help define the start of the Big 12 football season. That's going to be amazing. And in the Arizona State game against Texas State, a little bit of a slow start. If you were an Arizona State fan, you're like, here we go again. What is going on with this team? But then they got it rolling. All right. Sam Leavitt did his thing. Threw a couple of touchdown passes. You got Jordan Tyson having a really good game. 6 catches, 105 yards. And then you run away with this thing, right? It was basically over at halftime. The first quarter, you were squirming a little bit if you were a Sun Devils fan when you're sitting there tied at 3. But then you open things up and you're like, okay, this is exactly what we expected to happen. And the defense was really good. I mean, that was probably the most impressive part of the game. The defense was fantastic. And, you know, you want to see a guy that's going to potentially take that next step. Jordan Kroc was awesome in this game. He was all over the place. A sack, 3.5 tackles for loss. Former Arkansas guy. Came in, had a good year last year, 57 tackles, but now through 3 games, he's almost halfway there. So he's taken that next step, and he was tremendous in this game on Saturday night, which was the only late game for the Big 12. So wanted to kind of get a look at some of these guys, and Arizona State now goes to Waco in a huge showdown in week 4 in the Big 12 Conference. Cincinnati blasting Northwestern State. There's not much to say, although I'll say this about Brendan Sorsby. When you go 15 of 15, that's pretty fun with 5 touchdowns. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that, right? His QBR was 99.8. I looked that up. I saw his stat line, and I was like, what's your QBR when you go 15 of 15 with 5 touchdown passes? And it was a 99.8. I mean, that's amazing. That's just tremendous. But you're not going to sit here and go nuts on this. If you're a Cincinnati fan, you just can't, right? But this game sets up a very intriguing matchup against Kansas next week or 2 weeks from now. They've got a bye week, and then they play the Kansas Jayhawks in a couple of weeks. And that's going to be a really intriguing game. That's going to be kind of these toss-up games that Cincinnati has typically lost under Scott Satterfield during their time in the Big 12. Winning some of those games is what's going to prove to me that Cincinnati is capable of taking that next step. And then there's TCU. So TCU just played its first game since the, I mean, just demolishing of Bill Belichick. And it wasn't beautiful. I mean, you give up 21 points to Abilene Christian. You're not thrilled about it. But they've had a weird start to the season, right? They had this huge, highly emotional game on a Monday night against Bill Belichick in his college football coaching debut. Then they have 12 days off. They play this game against Abilene Christian. Just want to get out of there with a win because now they play SMU next Saturday in obviously a huge rivalry game. TCU looking for some revenge against a team that now thinks of itself as a consistent college football playoff contender when it was TCU who was just playing for a national championship a couple of years back. So that right there is a fantastic matchup to watch. That's 11 a.m. next Saturday in the non-con, and I can't wait. That's a big one for the Big 12 as well. The Big 12's got to be on its game for that non-conference matchup, and TCU obviously in particular has to be on its game for that non-conference matchup coming up next Saturday. But a tune-up game is all this was, and it's really all about what takes place in just a few days. There you go. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. If you are not subscribed yet, please do subscribe. No one covers the Big 12. I say this selfishly, of course, with more depth and more intrigue and more insight than we do. We've got multiple shows coming your way every single week, and we'd love to have you back here. So make sure you're subscribed right now on YouTube, on the podcast. Drop a comment, and we will talk to you soon. Also, sign up for the Heartland College Sports Forums. They're free. We'll see you over there. I'm Pete Mundo. Go Big 12. And if you are wondering on the early drop of the show on this Sunday, here's why. I will be in Arrowhead Stadium for the Chiefs and the Eagles Super Bowl rematch. It is going to be an amazing scene, and that's why I'm bringing you the show a little early and on the recorded side if you are a YouTube viewer. So thank you for bearing with me on that front this week. And I also had a Little League Pee Wee soccer game to try to fit in between church and the NFL game. I got a first and second grade girls soccer game I got to take care of and coach up. So hence the slight schedule change. I appreciate you guys working with me and being a part of this great community and great show at Heartland College Sports. I could not do it without you, and we will talk to you soon. Have a fantastic rest of your day.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.